As you drove into the parking lot, I suspect you saw the sign out there, Outcast. And I hope it provided you an indication of what we're going to focus on for the next 3 weeks. Men and women who feel as if they're outcast. And my hope and my prayer is that you and I can see ourselves in them. Because if we can, the possibility to see our Lord walking with us will increase. I'll talk about this woman in a moment, but next week we'll have a man born blind. And he'll feel like an outcast because the question to him and to others will be seen in a question to our Lord. Lord, whose sin was it? His or his parents that caused him to be blind? Why do bad things happen to good people? 2 weeks from now, Lazarus. Lazarus will be sick and Lazarus will die. Martha and Mary will call for the Lord, and Jesus will take a couple of days before he arrives. And feeling like outcasts, Martha and Mary will say, Lord, if you only would have been here, if you only would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And we'll explore that one. But today, this woman in her own right feels like an outcast. She's the object of scorn. She's the object of rejection. She lives in isolation. She comes to the well at noon in the heat of the day. All the other folks come early in the morning. She has to travel alone, and they travel in groups for safety reasons. She's a Samaritan. And Samaritans and people of Jewish descent never got along. There were racial barriers between those two cultures. We know of racial barriers today, so we can get a sense, perhaps, of what she experienced. Have one who's been a victim of discrimination or rejection speak to you, and you'll understand the woman's plight more. There were fierce hostilities between Samaritans and people of Jewish descent. There were no social gatherings, or there was to be no social interaction. You were not to trade or do commerce or business with another. You certainly were not to marry somebody outside of your clan. Those were the barriers of that day. Secondly, friends, women were discriminated and degraded in that culture. We've gotten better, but we're not out of the woods as a culture yet. But that woman was the recipient of a lot of degrading comments, maybe jokes. And I use that word loosely because it's not funny. She also had a bad reputation. We don't know what exactly it is. We can kind of guess what it might be. She's had five husbands and she's now living with somebody. She's looking for love and something isn't working in her life. Is she looking for love in all the wrong places? Maybe, maybe not. We may find out someday. But those failed relationships leaves her feeling rejected, like an outcast. Let her be the gift to you. Let her be the gift that allows you to go inward. Because rejection and feeling like an outcast is a very, very common experience. All of us, as we entered the middle school years, our teenagers experienced it. Kids always focus on how they're the same and not how they're different. Teenagers focus on how they're different and not how they're the same. Go back to those teenagers, or be attentive to the teens among us. Feeling different, there's a fear that you might be rejected. You might be an outcast. feeling different, it's very natural for teens to compare themselves to others. And every time we compare ourselves to somebody else, we always come up short. Comparisons always lead us to say, I am not enough. Others still fear the rejection of society, of comments, words, judgments against them. One of the dangers of social media is we can sit at our computers and write nasty things on a computer screen and then hit that word send. I remember a young person years ago. He was a gift to me to kind of take a look at this. This young person had entered a facility so that healing could happen. He had more hurts than any child deserved. He did his best to cope with those hurts, but somebody introduced him to drugs and alcohol as a way of medicating. Trying his hardest, as that started to fail, he got into trouble with the law too and ended up in a facility where he could find healing. As he entered the facility, he asked the question of adults, "What were you going to call me?" Because all kinds of words or judgments had come from family, from corrections, from the education system, from his peers, and from society. Words and labels suggesting that he was an outcast. Ourselves, our own comparison. Society at large, lastly. People fear sometimes the Lord. What does the Lord think? Am I going to be an outcast because of my brokenness? Because of my sin? Some live like Adam did and Eve did. After the sin in the garden, they ran and they hid because they were afraid of the Lord. I hope that helps walk into your life as you walk into the life of this woman at the well. Because friends, here's the good news. Here's the good news. Jesus thirsts for you as much as we thirst for him. At noon, he was thirsty. He went to the well. At noon, that woman was thirsty. She went to the well. Yes, they were both thirsty physically. The day was hot. The desert was dry, and they needed to quench their thirst. But there's a deeper thirst, too, a thirst to be loved. And to have relationships where love is given and received in all the various forms that our relationships take. Jesus is living out the Father's plan for his life. She's still looking for purpose, a purpose for her existence, and feeling like an outcast is making that difficult. And lastly, she's thirsting for eternal life. And the Lord's saying, I thirst for you too. The Lord thirsts for you as much as you thirst for him. Take that to your prayer this week. Take it to those moments of silence. This lady feels like a social outcast. She feels as if she's morally weak, and still she matters to our God. And you matter too. And I matter. And any obstacle in the way of that, the Lord desires to remove. To cast away so it cannot block us from that love. The Lord thirsts for you as much as you thirst for him. In that encounter at the well, Jesus broke through the barriers of prejudice, of hostility, and of a tradition, a custom of separation. As he does it then, he desires to do it now. He talks and speaks of her life very honestly and very lovingly.
And he looks at you and me in exactly the same way. Friends, we are more than our behavior. That young man I spoke about briefly, at the end of his healing, he discovered and walked out very proud, knowing he was more than his past and more than his mistakes. The healing and the forgiveness of the Lord is what brings us that. Lent is the time to say yes to that invitation of the Lord. There is an invitation for each of us to allow him to remove the barriers, the obstacles, those things that might lead you to conclude you're an outcast. The only thing that can stop it, and there's only one, it's ourselves. Might be our own fear. Lord, do you really love me that much? And the answer is on the cross. The answer is in this Eucharist. This is my body and blood given for you. For others, the only obstacle is pride. Lord, I don't need you. I've got it all together. I'll call upon you when I need you. Thanks very much. But not today. Now, pride is the deadliest of the deadly sins. And finally, might be our rebellious attitude. Very natural in teenage years, as young people enter into adulthood, to rebel so that all those values taught by parents in society start to take root and the foundation is solidified. But if that rebellion continues in our adult life, it can stand as an obstacle. We were built for union with God. We really were. That's why he thirsts for us as we thirst for him. That thirst is an infinite desire, and his love and his grace is what quenches it. That's the eternal water that Jesus spoke with that woman about. And it's his words to us this morning.